We don't see God, but we see the effects that God has on life and on our life. We don't see wind, but we see what it does. When we feel something, it might be that God is saying, I want to go deeper with you. I want to take this to another place, another level, and experience God on a whole different plane. And that's why you're feeling what you're feeling.
Hey there, I'm Victoria, a certified Christian life coach, author, motivational speaker, and university educator, and I am obsessed with helping you navigate through life's ups and downs so that you can live day by day in God's peace despite the many external demands on your time and energy. The Choose to Think Inspirational podcast is about the delicate dance between God transforming you from the inside out and your personal responsibility for change, maturity, and refinement as a Christ follower. On the show, I'll help you connect the dots between your faith and your life in practical, meaningful ways while giving God room to do what only He can do, and so that you can shine your light for Christ and be better equipped to serve your family and help others around you. You can change every area of your life, one thought at a time. Welcome back to the Choose to Think Inspirational podcast, Brain Changer. Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, and welcome or welcome back to the Choose to Think Inspirational podcast. On the show today, we have someone by the name of Dr. Billy Birch, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. He is the lead pastor at Christ Community Church in Westchester, Pennsylvania, where he served in ministry for 30 years. He holds a Doctor of Ministry degree and is passionate about connecting with people and helping them to experience Jesus in a meaningful way. He also holds a Master of Divinity and Master of Arts in Youth Ministry. He and his wife live in Downington, Pennsylvania, and have one daughter, two sons, and a daughter-in-law, and two grandchildren. Spending time with his wife and kids is his favorite thing, and in his free time, he can often be found snowboarding, jet skiing, rejuvenating at the beach, and following Baltimore sports teams. He also has he has podcasts, At the Table podcast, Everything Jesus podcast, and the Unapologetic podcast, and you can hear him there wherever you stream your podcast. But let me just say that our conversation was really centered around his book called In the Wind, and it's about experiencing God in the day-to-day of things. Like on a day where, like right outside right now, it's rainy, it's kind of blah, and God is here. And can I sense his presence? Do I hear him? Do I take time to slow down a little bit? Or it could be a perfectly amazing, bright and sunny day, and I'm just happy as a clam doing all of my life, so to speak. But do I sense him there? Is he nudging me? And sometimes we feel or we sense that things are going on, and it might be a little God nudge, but we may, instead of giving God the credit per se, we may say, oh, I'm just spiritual. Like there's a spiritual side and I'm just sensing something that's quote spiritual, but we're not really attributing that to the God of the universe, to our creator, to our heavenly father. And so he's going to kind of bridge the gap between some of that kind of thinking. His book is really amazing. We're going to talk about it when we actually chat, and I want you to go out and get that book. It would be an amazing book to give a friend or to give someone who doesn't know the Lord. Offer that to them just as a gift and say, hey, here's a good read. You might be interested in this. And stay tuned to the very end, because Billy also is going to talk about what he has on tap. And it's just fascinating what God is doing in his life, and hopefully will continue to do as he continues to write and share his insight into being a 21st century Christian with the world. So without further ado, here is Dr. Billy Birch. Well, welcome, Billy, to the Choose to Think Inspirational podcast.
Hey, thanks, Victoria. Thank you so much for having me on. This is great. It's a pleasure of mine to be on after having heard you talk about this whole idea of choose to think. It's like such a great concept when it seems so easy, but it can be really difficult. You know what I mean?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
we're glad to have you. And what a truth that is, just choosing to think. I often guilt myself with that though, Billy, because I'm like, oh, Victoria, you're not choosing to think. There, every day we need to choose to think. And sometimes I just fall flat on my face with that aspect, but it's not for lack of trying. So,
well, you know, what's really funny. I agree with you. I 100% agree with you that I think the bad days, let's call them bad days that I have, I always can trace it back to bad thinking. You would expect that, you know, we live this life long enough and we're kind of walking with Jesus long enough and we're like, but still, you know what I mean? It's a real struggle. It's a challenge. And, and you know, we fall into these things. And I really, really respect you for putting a podcast like this together and really reaching out. Listen, maybe this is a plug for your podcast, but you did an excellent job on Psalm 54. I mean, that was the most, I think it was the most recent one that you did. But I thought to myself, how great is it to have perspective when we go through these difficulties, right? And we get into these really discouraging places and you know, kind of open up scripture and say, yeah, but so did David. Watch what he did. He transformed in just a few verses from this kind of thinking to, look, this has to be different. And it is different and it can be different. And so I think that's just, it's great, you know? And so thank you for that.
Yeah, well, thank you for saying that. That's really a blessing to my heart, that's for sure. And I love something that you do also, Billy, is you just inherently in your work, and we're going to get into your book here just in a second, but you are connecting the dots between faith and the practical application of that faith and what it really means. Because otherwise, you know, we have this amazing word of God that is living and active. We have this at our fingertips. We're born again Christians. We live in this 21st century, but what difference does our faith really make in our lives? And why is it even important that we're Christians? Are there, like, quote, benefits there? And are we really walking in those? And as I read through your book, and I want you to show it to everyone, all of our viewers on YouTube, if you'll stick it right there in front of you so that they can see it, it's called In the Wind, Sensing the Nearness of God in the Ordinary Moments of Life. And it's what you did in that book that was so compelling to me is, I don't know how many stories you tell. I'm like, good night. You have so many stories where people love stories. We love to read stories. We love to hear stories because we connect immediately with those and we can relate to those. And then from there, you take it to a spiritual application that makes it even more powerful and more meaningful. And that's kind of what I try to do on the show. That's where I was thinking we're a lot alike. But before we talk about your book, actually, if you could just tell everyone a little bit about you and maybe how you came to know Jesus and what a difference that has made in your life. Just kind of peel back a layer personally, and then we'll go to the book.
Yeah, that's great. I remember being a teenager and having seeds planted. Okay, there was my aunt said something about Jesus is coming back, and I thought she was crazy. And then there was a professional football player at the time on the Baltimore Colts, that's where I grew up in Baltimore, who came to me and said, man, you need Jesus. And those things stuck with me. And then all of a sudden, I got in a conversation with this girl from my high school, and we ended up having a long walk, and we sat on the curb, and she started sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus with me, how he loves me and he died for me and my sins are forgiven and we can have a whole new life. And I thought, this girl's crazy. I got to tell my friends to stay away from her. Literally 10 minutes later, I'm praying to receive Christ on that curb, you know, in Baltimore, right? Where I was growing up. And so it was really an amazing transition. And from there, the Lord really was just doing work in my life. And I would have never expected to be a pastor of all things. You know what I mean? It just was a very, very strange way that the Lord got me into the pastorate and ended up going to college to study, to be in a ministry, and then seminary after that, and then another seminary after that. And just kind of the way the Lord led me. And I'm doing what I can just to serve him, follow him, do it in his strength, in his wisdom, and just leaving it all to him. You know what I mean? I like I said, I grew up in Baltimore. I love sports. I love, you know, my family, my three kids, just the joy of my life and my wife. And so you know, it's been a great journey. So I've been here at this church for a fairly long time, being a senior pastor, another, I guess, 12 years or so, and just have a whole lot of wonderful people, a wonderful staff, and we're just doing what we can to reach the community, help them grow in Christ, help them to see the love of Christ, and we experience Jesus together. And so that's just a little bit.
A little nutshell. And don't you have two grandchildren?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. 2 and 4.
Yep. Oh, wow.
You have a good memory.
Anything better?
It's insane. It's just amazing how awesome it is, you know? So we're so thankful and blessed to share life with them as well. So yeah, man, it's really great.
It's a lot of fun. It's a whole lot of fun. Well, I want to read just a little bit of something that you wrote to me as we were discussing being on the show. And you said this about your book. You said the whole point of writing this book is to get it in the hands of non-believers. There is an increasing awareness of spirituality, often reflected in phrases like, quote, I'm spiritual, but not religious, end quote. And then you say, at the same time, people are leaving the church and Christianity in record numbers. You want people to know that the feeling of something more is God actually getting their attention. You weave Jesus into the chapters to give everyone an understanding of his relatability, his love, and the sheer fact that he notices us. And your desire is that your book, In the Wind, would be a tool in the hands of believers to offer to their friends and family who have distanced themselves from God in hopes that it will prompt them to move closer. So can you unpack that whole notion of spirituality?
Secularism has failed us. But when you take God out of the culture and the atheism and replace it with science, which was really beginning to be very popular through the 50s, 60s, 70s, even the 80s, people started to sense this discontent, this haunting feeling, like there's something more. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what it is, but there's something more. I don't know what it is, but there has to be, because there's something that we were hardwired to be in a relationship with God. Take that away and something's missing. And we're all sensing it and we're all feeling it. Everybody is, especially those who really want to push God out of their thinking, out of their heart, out of their life. And I think people have come to an awareness. I saw this resurgence in the 90s, but I think people have come to an awareness that there's something of a spiritual side of every human being, whether they don't know what it is. But we all say, hey, we're relational, we're physical, we're mental people, we're also spiritual people. And so when you leave that out, you're leaving a whole big giant gap or a hole inside of our soul or something like that. So that's why we saw a resurgence back then of the New Age movement.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
Spirituality that was coming, and we're still seeing some of that, because I think one of the most predominant philosophies, if you'll call it that, is crystals. Like the people that I've run into, I don't know why, okay, but hey man, I'm really into the crystals and the vibes and in the earth, and then we get talking about things like that. But it's because everybody wants something spiritual, and when it's not there, you got to fill that. You have to fill that with something, or you're going to be empty, you're going to be discouraged, and ultimately I think it leads to hopelessness. And we all have a desire. Every human being has a desire because of our sin nature, okay, and a propensity to try and control our own God, okay? So I was in a conversation, I picked up a hitchhiker, man, he looked like he was all right, so I'm like, all right, let me pick him up, and it gives me an opportunity. I'm not saying anybody podcast, that's probably not a good idea, okay, but in my situation and where I'm ministering, seemed like a good idea, and it was. It gave me a captive audience. Hey, man, what do you believe? I believe in Jesus. What do you believe? All this conversation, right? And he's like, well, I combine Catholicism with Zen Buddhism with Rastafarianism. And I was like, okay, that's really interesting. And I said, so let me explain your life. You really like the structure in your spirituality. You really like this whole idea of meditation. And you really like to smoke weed. How about that? right? And he was like, how did you know? I said, it's not rocket science, man. We all want to control our own God instead of understanding that there's a God out there who created us to be here. We've got a legitimate place on this earth because you were born here. And we forget that we're our creator is our authority. We don't like that. So people will want the spirituality, but not the authority, when we don't realize that the authority is our protection. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. God gives us his word because he says, look, I want to provide for you the best life possible. I want to protect you from all the things that are going to take you down. And so when we understand authority in that way is based on love, not on some kind of harsh legalistic rule. You know what I mean? It's not based on that. People start to recognize that, oh man, there's something here. There's something there. And so the more I talk to people, the more I hear I'm spiritual, but not religious. So I don't go to church and I don't adhere to any one religion and everything goes. And it's like, I noticed that people are starting to leave Jesus completely out of the conversation. It's funny because they'll talk about a whole lot of other religious figures, but then they leave Jesus out. So I was like, all right, I'm feeling like I want to write a book that will be really encouraging to believers. I really believe it will, but it will really speak to the non-believers, and that non-believers will receive it as a gift, maybe from believers, as a very easy on-ramp to explain our faith and explain how practical Jesus is, how relevant he is, so that void that everybody's feeling in this spirituality can turn into this relationship with Jesus. People are much more willing to hear about a person than a set of laws or doctrines. But let's just tell the story of Jesus. And that's kind of what I tried to do in the book, relating it to some things I've gone through. And I picked 10 things that God uses to get our attention every day, every day.
Well, you know I have those 10 things. Mystery, belief, wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R, wonder, purpose, emptiness, pain, remorse, blessing, light, and love.
Yes.
Yeah.
We feel those things. We experience those things on a daily basis. And I really believe that when we start to think through, wait a minute, maybe God is trying to get my attention, then people will take that spirituality, that thing, that gap, that hole that they feel, and they'll say to themselves, man, I think something's happening here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it gives me an easy way to talk about my faith to somebody. And I've had other, you know, people give this book away as Christmas gifts and all kinds of stuff that are getting, you know, really good feedback. And it allows them to enter in to, this is my everyday faith. That's why you said a lot of stories in the book. I wrote a lot of stories. They're very short little stories or vignettes of something that's happened to me. They're not these mind-blowing, wow, are you kidding me? They're everyday things, because God uses everyday things to continue to draw us. And I take a lot of hope in that for the people I love that don't yet know Christ, that God is doing it every day. He's drawing him every day. He's drawing him. We just can't, you know, we don't realize that because we don't necessarily see it, but he's doing his work. And that's kind of why I titled it In the Wind, because we don't see God, but we see the effects that God, you know, has on life and on our life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we don't see wind, but we see what it does.
Join the Choose to Think Ministries for a whirlwind of whimsy as we team up with the Central Kentucky YMCA for a delightful book signing extravaganza. When? Sunday, April 21st from 2 to 3 p.m. Mark your calendars and set your alarms. You won't want to miss this. Be one of the lucky first 20 guests to snag an autographed copy of the delightful Pickleball Passion, a Marriage Devotional. Where is it? Right here in lovely Lexington, Kentucky at the North Y. swing by if you're in the neighborhood. Oh, and did we mention that there'll be light refreshments? It's going to be a scrumptious affair, but wait, there's more. This event marks the grand kickoff for the Pickleball Passion Clinic for Couples. Starting every Sunday afternoon in May, head on over to the brand new state-of-the-art pickleball courts at the Lexington North Y. Get ready for some pickleball pizzazz and marital magic. It's going to be an absolute smash.
There was a story in the end of the book where I was at a detention center doing some ministry. And, you know, this was kind of hardened teenagers. I mean, they were in for murder and, oh my gosh. And wow. So this one came up to me and he was like, I don't believe in God. And I said, why not? He said, because I don't see him and I need to see him. And I just said, hey, come over here to the window. What do you see? He say, trees. And I said, well, what are the trees doing? Well, they're blowing. And I said, well, what's causing them to blow? And he said, well, the wind. I said, I don't really believe in the wind because I don't see the wind. And he's like, just looking at me. And then it dawned on him after about 10 seconds of staring at me right in my eyes. He's like, I get what you're saying. You know what I mean? And that story really affected me because I just see God working so much. Even though I don't see visibly, I see the effects of what he's doing. You know, and he's always doing it. So these 10 things, you know, you just look at any of these 10 things, that even the emptiness or the remorse, the blessings that he gives us, even the mystery of life itself, or the whole idea of belief itself. Why are we made to believe something? Because God made us that way. And so I'm really helping to shift people's thinking in any way. That's what I'm praying to do, you know. Shift people's thinking, even in the moments of greatest pain, to say, wait a minute, Jesus experienced this same thing. So maybe I ought to give him some thought. Mm-hmm. And that's really the book, you know?
Yeah, love it. Well, I'm wondering, what do you think, Billy, is maybe a couple, maybe one or two stumbling blocks to why people don't recognize that God is kind of gently tapping on their heart's door? Are there things going on in our lives? Is it part of being a 21st century Christian in the world we live in? What's keeping people from recognizing that's God's voice, or it's his presence, or his prompting that's there? What keeps us from recognizing that on the day to day?
I feel like it has to do with two things. Number one, that if you're talking about a non-believer and things happening to them, why isn't it the first thought like, oh my goodness, God is trying to get my attention? And it's a kind of a supernatural experience that people go through when God is trying to get their attention, but they don't relegate it to God as the Christian Jesus, God, or whatever you want to call it. They just think it's this very just supernatural. Oh, it's the earth, it's the universe, it's the power, it's the whatever they consider it to be, for a couple reasons. Number one, I think the church has gotten a really bad rap, okay, over the course of let's just say the last 20 years, okay, 20 to 30 years. And there's just a whole lot that's going on because this whole culture has now embraced this whole idea of relativism. Anything goes, anything goes, anything goes. In a minute, somebody says that, man, I've got some truth here that you really need to adhere to, that maybe you're wrong. I know we don't usually say it that way, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
But it's insinuated as soon as we say, look, this is what God has said to us. And so there's this pushback of like, hey, wait a minute. Don't tell me what's right and wrong. That might be right or wrong for you, but it's not right or wrong for me. And we get into this whole idea of, man, now we guess you got to go back into what I believe is what I wrote about, is like the felt things, the things we feel, because people think these days more so with their emotions than their brains. And so I think that really does kind of disturb the natural way God wants us to think, well, you know, mm-hmm. which is again, what you're trying to promote. And so this whole idea of right and wrong, this whole idea of truth and whole idea that we can't determine truth at all is like, man, we got to fight that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then we're in this situation where maybe people, and I've seen this a good bit, where people have had a bad experience with church, whether it's somebody that has treated them badly or whether it's just something like, it is so boring, I don't know what to do with myself, man. It doesn't have any relevance or any bearing on how I live. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm fighting that a little bit too. And so the last thing I will say is, I have found this to be the case, and I'm hoping this is an encouragement to everybody, an encouragement to you too, that I've found that more people are willing to listen than we're willing to tell, which I find interesting, because people are exploring their own life and they're thinking through, why are they feeling what they're feeling? And it's like, I got to have an answer to this. And when I start talking about God, or start talking about the story of a person, and this person is Jesus, who was sent by this God who loves us to rescue us. So this is a rescue mission. And here's what he did to rescue us. And here's how this worked. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's dead. And the disciples are like, what is going on? And then he rises again. And there's hope. And there's, and you tell the story, people are much more willing to hear the story, which I find is really interesting. And so my whole doctorate was really about having spiritual conversations with confidence, relevance, and conviction. And I feel like we have to ask ourselves, is it a conviction issue or a confidence issue when we're entering into these conversations with people about Jesus? And I feel that same thing. It's, you know, it's funny, I don't know if this happens to you, but I could be on an airplane, or I could be walking around a park, and I have this great conversation about Jesus, and it doesn't happen all the time. Don't think I'm some kind of, you know, giant in this whole thing. I struggle with it too. Is the whole reason I wrote the book, to be honest with you. But then sometimes it takes 15 years to have a conversation. And God's in the long game in some situations, and he's in the short game in some situations. And so it's just really us being willing to lay ourselves out and just say, God, what can I do? So a lot of people invite people to their church when they feel like their church has a compelling thing going on. That's legitimate. That's what the woman at the well did. She invited people. She was like, come see the man who told me everything I ever did. And all these people came and saw him. And at the end of chapter 4 in John, a lot of people came to Christ. And I think that's a legitimate thing. So this book is something that I'm really encouraging people. Listen, you read it through if you want, but give it to somebody who doesn't know Christ, because it's going to open them up. I'm praying that it does. And I really believe it will, because we know that Isaiah 55 says, man, listen, if God sends out his word, which I use a lot of scripture in the book, it's going to come back having accomplished the purpose of which he sent it.
Right.
So it's like, that's the power is not in my writing. The power is in the Spirit translating what we read or hear. You know, if somebody happens to want to do the audible version, and it's like, man, it gives people room and space in that spiritual part of them to say, I got to check this out. I got to look at this person, Jesus. I'm really kind of liking him, you know, and they may have never, ever given him a thought before. And that's my prayer. And thought, you know,
wow, that's so wonderful, Billy. And you've told one story from the book, but is there another kind of favorite story that you have that you wouldn't mind sharing? Anything pop into your head?
You know, one of the things that I struggled with in the book, I was like, man, I finished writing it. And then I thought, I've got to have a good way to conclude it. And I remember a friend, and I kind of wrote about it without giving the friend's name or something like that, whose puppy ran away. And man, it was this massive effort. I mean, they were crying and talking to their mom. Had to come home from work. They've scoured the neighborhood. That didn't work. So they did the thing where you always see the cats or dogs on a telephone pole. And they did all of that. They sent emails. They sent, you know, Facebook group, all this. It's a massive effort. But the effort was, in the end, successful because they found the dog, right? It was such a great story. And I thought to myself, that is exactly how God feels about us, that he put all of this effort to find, you know, the lost people. Jesus, one of his purposes for coming is, I came to seek and save the lost. And so the effort that God put in to this whole entire history that we live in, that we're part of his story, is I'm sending my son, whom I love. And that's going to be the big effort. And then he keeps drawing us and doing things to get our attention and to help us to see that there's something more, there's something more, there's something more. And then somebody comes in and puts the puzzle together, you know, and that's, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good one. I just kind of had an image of those wanted, like a wanted sign or in search of, with thousands of people's faces on there. And Jesus taking the mantle and saying, okay, let me go. You know, that's kind of a cool thought to think about like that. The great hound of heaven is after us. And that's just so powerful to think of. Apologetics and even defending faith. You know, I've had a lot of guests on the show who we talk about that because I love that aspect. And I want to be able to have an answer for the hope that I have and the faith that I have. And sometimes I kind of just fall flat on my face. And other times, maybe I'm able to kind of reason things through with other people. But it can be sometimes intimidating. And, you know, they say the best or the only Bible some people may see is how you behave. You may be the only Bible that they see. And so there's also something in just living out our faith and making it, you know, we can slip up so much. And I have a dear friend and we've been dialoguing for months, and her idea of Christianity is very common. I think often Christians do get the bad rap on things, or they're very dogmatic, they're closed-minded, maybe they're hypocritical, maybe they goof. You know, you take someone like a spiritual giant, like Ravi Zacharias, for example. Oh my goodness, I loved his ministry. I taught his curriculum at our church for a season. And you know, I love listening to him. He seemed so wise, so intelligent. And of course, the word of God never changed, right? I mean, he was just delivering the word of God. So if God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through any one of us. Of course, it's the content. The word doesn't change. It doesn't matter the vehicle by which it comes necessarily. But, you know, I was heartbroken over the way his life ended. And I wonder, you know, sometimes people look at that, or non-believers may look at that, and it's like, gosh, Christians fall short a lot. And that's hard sometimes to explain. Like I don't want to sin, but I do sin. I do goof. I do make mistakes, but thank goodness I'm remorseful about it, or repentant, or I try to make that right, or I know I'm working out my salvation. And so I don't know, that sometimes I think could also be a stumbling block. And then for believers, for me personally, you know, you end your book with "Be still and know God." I think that's one of the last little references in your book. And I just did a "Be still and know God" challenge on Facebook, and 17 other women joined me. So just for 7 days, all we did was commit to being still before the Lord and trying to listen to Him. But let me tell you, it's like eating a bucket of nails, because it's hard for me to be still. Like right now, I'm a little bit antsy, even in my chair. And I'm, you know, I've been moving my legs. It's that we're bombarded. And our phones are, of course, also something that takes us away from even noticing that God's presence is with us and He's here with us. And so could you talk to that point of just the busyness that we have as Christ followers, as believers? Like, how do we really slow down? What do we do to, you know, reignite that desire just to be still before the Lord?
I think you're so right in saying that we live in a world that is full of so many distractions and diversions. And man, we live in a place that's so busy. And I know you have a busy life, and you're running a ministry, and there's all these things that we think, and it kind of really gets heavy on us.
Yeah.
And I will say that it is a struggle. It is a real live struggle. And even when you say, you know, there's a couple places I go. Number one, when we're struggling with, let's say, a sin, or we say something that we shouldn't have said, or we did something we shouldn't have done, and somebody notices it, or somebody like Ravi Zacharias, I go to Romans chapter 7, and it just gives this whole description of the Apostle Paul wrestling hard. And he's like, I want to do what's right, but I seem to not be able to. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I seem to not be able to. Who is going to rescue me from this nonsense? And he says at the very end, thank Jesus, it's going to be through him. You know what I mean? And so when we allow ourselves the grace and the freedom to step back out of life and do exactly what it says in Romans 12:2, I had this open. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, right? And then when we also have that in Isaiah 26, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are focused and fixed on you. That's Isaiah 26:3.
And Hebrews, we can add the Hebrews. We keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross and now sits at the right hand of the Father. It's that focus, isn't it? And that perspective, all of those are, they're, it's so wonderful that God gives us those verses that really tell us what to focus on.
Oh, 100%. You know, Philippians 4:8 comes to mind. You know,
that we think about these things.
Those good things.
Why don't we do it though?
And it's like everything we can do to say, okay, what is, am I going to do to discipline myself? See, that's not a bad thing. It is not a bad thing to live a life of discipline with some of these things, because even people who live a real free, carefree life, that's like, oh man, I don't make plans for a whole lot. You kind of do. Maybe they're a little later in the game than some of the pre-planners do, but discipline is not bad. As a matter of fact, that's why Paul says, sometimes we got to be like a soldier. Sometimes we got to be like a farmer. Sometimes, because they have to do things. They got to plant. They got to, you know, water. They got to fertilize. The soldiers have to train and train and train. And even like he says in 1 Corinthians 9, he's like, just like an athlete, you got to do some training. And so the training is funny, because we can do. And what I found myself getting into is, man, I would read a lot of scripture. I'd be really intense about it. I'd get into the original languages for my own devotions. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not being still. I'm not just saying, God, here's the truth. I'm going to rest on. So the other day, it was nice here. One of those trick spring days.
Yes.
And so I sat by a stream for 1 hour and I said, I'm just letting thoughts float through my head that I can hear. God, let me hear something. And then I will put that, you know, in my head so that I can relate it to you. And I just had some quietness. And, you know, if we can allow ourselves that space of quietness and discipline that, just to say, you know what, no matter what, I'm doing this. I love several times. I feel like in the past 2 or 3 months, you started talking about, you know, morning routines.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, you somebody on that was talking about
Gail Root was her name. It's very good. It changed her life. Powerfully changed her life when she added 1 hour of 6 different little things to do. And of course it was all centered around God, but it was also saying, God, this is your day. I'm not going to go to my calendar first and then ask you to bless these things, or, you know, no, I'm going to start with you first, being quiet, not the phone. It was really, I felt so convicted, Billy, as I was listening to that. Matter of fact, that's when I started the Be Still and Know God challenge, right after I interviewed her, because I thought, I struggle with this. I know other women do too. And, you know, it's a big deal to really just sit still. And because sometimes God speaks to us in so many different ways, as you have mentioned in your book. But we just need to make sure we're ready for that, and that our antennas kind of are up and on alert to really receive that, because there's so much noise out there. And if we're not careful, all of that plays interference and we miss blessings that way. Same thing with being quiet before the Lord and seeking him first, and just that discipline. I love that you said that, because do you happen to play pickleball?
No, but I have my brother real big into it, man.
Okay.
Really big into it.
I have to ask you, because I saw, this is kind of related. I saw a meme the other day. You know, everyone wants a quick fix to things. And so it had two windows, and over one window it said new pickleball paddle. And then on the other window it said drilling and practice and improve your skills. And there was a humongous line of people buying a new paddle, but nobody was in the line to do drills and to practice and to have that kind of training. And that's kind of what you're talking about, in the way we want something that's easy, but really there's a discipline that we may be missing. And I'm glad you said discipline is good. It's a good thing. It doesn't have to be a bad thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I struggle with that. I mean, I've had people that talk to me and say, hey man, you need to slow down. I just want to say, one of the things that helped me in the discipline of really trying to, understand what God is doing in me, I have a friend of mine. And when I would get to be a mess, right? And I'm like, man, I can't think straight. I'm going crazy, man. I don't know what's going on next. And he's like, I need some quietness. I call him. And he is a really great brother in Christ who's a worship leader. And he goes all over the world to help people. He spends time with monks and craziness, right? So I'm like, yo, I need my half a day with you. And so he will take me to a park. And he'll say, okay, I need you to read this scripture 10 times. And I just want you to read. I'm going in the woods. I'm going to come back and find you in like a half an hour. You know what I mean? And so it was really awesome. And so then he would come back and we would talk a little bit about it. And then he'd send me, now I want you to go pray about these things. And I don't want you to stop praying for like 45 minutes. Okay, I'll do it, man. And so I used to use him. And then we'd go out to lunch and talk about all the things that God was revealing. And sometimes it's not a bad thing to have somebody that we can have as sort of like an accountability partner, or yes, even somebody that's like, hey, let's go to the park for an hour. We're going to spend time with God. You go off, and we come back together and see, what is God telling us? What's going on inside our soul that's stirring? And it might be something that we have to feel. And honestly, that's kind of where I'm at with my book. We feel things, and that's legitimate. That's okay. God is trying to get through to us thing. He uses our emotions to get our attention. And that's how he does sometimes. So when we feel something, we're like, what is that? I have to, really reconcile that and seek God about that. So when you talked about, apologetics, that's a mind thing. And there's a lot of doctrine there. The book I wrote is more about feeling the apologetic things instead of really having to go through all this doctrine that people may or may not be interested in, but you can't deny what you feel. And even us as Christians, when we feel something, it might be that God is saying, I want to go deeper with you. I want to take this to another place, another level, and experience God on a whole different plane. And that's why you're feeling what you're feeling. And he'll meet us there every time.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I don't, learn that.
Well, and our feelings and our thoughts, I mean, scientists kind of will say, some people say, oh, thoughts come first then feelings, but other people say, no, it's feelings then thoughts. And whichever one comes first, they're like microseconds apart. I mean, they're so intertwined really in our whole system. But for me, sometimes I can be feeling a certain way or be having a particular emotion, and then I can do a little bit of reverse engineering and trace it back to what are the thoughts that I'm thinking. And yeah, that's where God really shows up for me, because often, like, I always have a picture of like, there's a welcome mat on a door. And I look down at the mat, I'm about to enter the door, or maybe I already did enter the door, but I try to figure out what are those mindsets or those thoughts essentially that I'm telling myself that are kind of welcoming me to come into this place that really, where I really engage some thoughts that aren't what I would call godly or life-giving thoughts. And a lot of times I look down and it's self-pity or self-focus. And, those, usually that gets me. I can go to kind of deep and dark places when I'm really self-focused or feeling sorry for myself. I know that's not exactly what you're saying, even from your book. I think from your book, you're saying that, hey, when you're doing your life and you kind of feel something or you sense something, let that be a little bit of a signpost for you that God may be speaking to you in that moment. He's there. And notice that and kind of go deeper with that. In both cases, it's really incredible self-awareness. And that's such an important thing for us to do. To even just be self-aware is critically important. And I think that God works through us as we're longing to become more Christ-like. And for crying out loud, he says we have the mind of Christ. So, you know, put that on, right? I mean, that's like huge. But we know that we long to be like him, less of us, more of him. But it can be kind of a painful and even agonizing experience as we just see the trappings of our own flesh along the way. But what a great message to send, that you're sending Billy to say, look, here's some real life stories, and here's how I saw God in this. And hey, let me tell you how that connects to the very life of Christ. And yeah, you kind of put all of that together in just very simple ways, but intriguing and engaging stories. So hats off to you. That's just wonderful. I do just have a couple more questions though for you, unless you wanted to tag on anything from what I just said.
I really appreciate what you just said, because that ministered to me, even the way you're saying, notice these things, even that welcome mat, how, you know, I just thought that's really great way to live. I find myself increasingly having to ask a question that I feel like if I would just ask it more, and I'm finding myself, you know, entering into the space that God wants me to enter into more when I ask him, God, will you please be present with me so I can be present in this situation the way you want me to be present in this situation, whether it's my quietness with God, or whether it's a hard meeting I got to go into, or whether it's something I've got to confront somebody on. Lord, will you be present with me so I can be present the way you want me to be present in all things? And that gives me that little bit of rest. You know what I mean? That little bit of like, God is going before me, and I can have confidence in that, you know? And so it's a really important thing to have his presence.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the times that I don't really notice his presence, or I'm not really aware of it, I think I'm just kind of carried away by my own agenda sometimes. And, you know, very much, I've got to get these things done, and very productive. And there's a real trap there. I'm still trying to discover really what all of that means, because it's easy to say, oh, Lord, I'm working for you. I'm yoked to you, Jesus. So, but I think, you know, there's a lead cow, like I've got my granddad's yoke. There's a wooden yoke that's hanging here in my office. It weighs 27 pounds, the big wooden yoke, and he used it for cattle. But when you're yoked, there's always a lead cow, in that one of them kind of takes the lead. And I think sometimes in that analogy of being yoked to Christ and having his easy and light yoke, when I start nudging myself in another direction, it becomes so heavy and so burdensome. It's like I'm the one who's trying to lead, though I'm just saying, well, I'm yoked to you, Christ. This is all for you. But I'm still kind of adding some resistance there. And that's another quest to discover, what does it really mean to be yoked to Christ and to be under his authority? And that yoke doesn't weigh 27 pounds. I tried to put it on my back once, just as I did a little YouTube on it, and just to be kind of hysterical about it, because it would be so difficult to do that. But yet that's what I do every day. I put this yoke on myself, and it's not a legalistic yoke that I'm talking about. I'm just talking about, you know, what do they say? Busy, burdened under Satan's yoke, busy, B-U-S-Y. They say that. Yeah. But anyway, the thing I was going to ask you though is, was there anything in your book that you didn't put in, anything you think you've since thought about, like, oh rats, I wish I would have put that in?
You know,
or will that just be the next book?
It's funny you asked that.
Because it says series. I saw it says series.
Yes. And done, I'm like, man, I feel like there's a follow-up that needs to happen, you know? And I started looking at it as saying that this is incomplete, you know what I mean? Because there's so much more that could be said. So I was thinking about, and this is just my own thinking right now, and I don't know if the publisher will, or, you know, go with this or not, but it's like, I was thinking to myself, how about the next one will be in the weeds, and I'll talk about the apologetic thing, right? All the deep thinking. People are like, well, if there's a God, why do bad things happen? And when we get in our own head about some of that, so we get into the weeds of all these difficult questions. Is God really real? How do we know? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? And I did a whole lot of work on that. So that may become that one.
And then, wow, that's a good one, Billy.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. And then the last one would be in the wilderness, which would be when we go through difficult times, because that's the times that people have the most questions. And like, you know, so when we go through difficulty, trials and circumstances that we don't understand. So that would be the third book. So it's kind of like I'm trying to think through this and think through when would I have time to put that together. But I feel like I did talk about, you know, pain in the book, but I think I could expand on that into like when you're going through difficulties, you know what I mean? What is God doing? How is he trying to get your attention in that way? And so anyway, maybe that answers the question because it's left hanging a little bit.
Yeah. And that's wonderful. Cause did you notice it's a W in the wind, in the weeds, in the wilderness. That's kind of cool too. You got the W's going.
Yeah, maybe that would be, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
It might be like part like a bundle or something like that. So
yeah.
I'm praying through that over the next year and hopefully get started on those and see what happens, you know?
Yeah, that's great. Well, tell everybody, yeah. Billy, where they can find you and get your book.
Yeah, you can just go to Amazon. You can go to just type in the title, In the Wind, Dr. Billy Birch. You can find it there. It's on Audible. It's on, you know, you can get the ebook Kindle version, or you can get a hardback or paperback. If you go to my website, billybirch.com, you can go to my church website, visitccc.com, and you can find anything you want there and all our media stuff and the resources we have at our church.
Oh, so, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for your amazing work and your heart for God and the fact that you're contributing something to a world in need of truth, but truth that is relatable and engaging and like appetizing. So good for you and hats off for you. And I can't wait to read the other two books. So when you get them, we'll just have you right back on the show and we'll keep chatting about all of this and having fun like that. But thank you so much and God bless you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Victoria. And thank you for your insight and your encouragement and love what you're doing.
And that's a wrap, Brain Changer. And listen, if you like what you hear, would you leave us a 1 to 2 sentence review at Apple Podcasts, share the link with a friend, or tag me on your share on social media? It would mean the world to me and would help us to keep shining the light of Christ and sharing the good news to others who are in need of encouragement. Please visit us on our website at choosetothink.co, that's with the number 2, choosetothink.co, to get on our monthly newsletter list. And if you need a guest speaker for your next women's retreat or church event, I'm your gal. Email me at choosetothink@gmail.com. And that's with the number 2, choosetothink@gmail.com. Finally, I offer limited free mentoring sessions each month where you and I can chat to help you develop a strategy for your thoughts in any area of your life. I'm a certified life coach and I have something to share. Visit choosetothink.co and click on mentoring for more details. Also, keep in mind that the messages on this show are for informational and educational purposes only. Please consult your medical doctor for all medical issues. Thank you again for tuning in. God bless you.